When I first went to stay with John Fuang, he had me chant the Divine Mantra every evening as a way of getting me used to the six elements, or the six dhatu properties of wind, fire, water, earth, space, consciousness. It was an important part of the way he taught meditation. Here in the West, it's one of the topics that's usually not focused on. It's one of the topics of mindfulness immersed in the body. But people tend to avoid it because they think the elements here are a primitive form of chemistry. We know the real elements are oxygen, hydrogen, carbon, iron. But the Buddha is talking more about how you feel the body from within. How do you feel oxygen from within, hydrogen, carbon, or iron? There's no way that you can sense them directly. What you do sense directly is the fact that the body has a sense of energy, which is the wind. There's a warmth, which is fire. Coolness, water. Solidity, earth. Space, and consciousness. These are part of your direct experience. And it's good to see them that way. I remember the evening when I was chanting the Divine Mantra and it suddenly hit me. These are not just foreign concepts that were being imposed on my mind. It was a way of looking at things that I was directly experiencing. My consciousness right here, right now. My body right here, right now. So it's a good thing to know. Gets us away from our ordinary ways of looking at our body and seeing the body as really strange. In fact, that's one of the purposes of this meditation. You see it basically in two main contexts, in the canon and in John Lee's teachings. They talk about it as one of the preliminaries for getting the mind to settle down with the breath. Even before you do breath meditation, you focus on the elements. This is how the Buddha taught breath meditation to his son, Rahula. You think of the fact that the body has things that are solid, has things that are liquid. There's the fire in the body, the warmth, the coolness, the water. There are various liquids in the body like blood and pus, lymph, urine. And you realize that your body is made out of the same things everything else in the world is made out of. So there's nothing special about it, and it's subject to the same laws as the world outside, even in the big version of the elements. It's subject to a lot of change, totally beyond your control. Floods can come, and everything can dry up and become a desert. Sea levels rise and fall. Fires can sweep through and then go out. Windstorms can come, and then there are days when there's no wind at all. As they say, even the grass ends and the thatch don't move. It's when the large versions of these elements are so changeable. What about the version you got here in the body? What if it is that's really yours? It belongs to the world. And you've come in and commandeered it, laid claim to it as yours. At some point, you're going to have to let it go. This kind of meditation helps induce concentration because it gives a sense of sangvega, dispassion. The Buddha goes further to tell Rahula, make your mind like earth, make your mind like wind, water, fire. People throw disgusting things on the earth, but the earth doesn't react. Wind blows trash around, but it's not disgusted by the trash. Fire burns trash. Water is used to wash trash away, but they don't get disgusted. They don't get reactive. As you meditate, you want your mind to be that impervious to the things it doesn't like. Because when things come up in your meditation that you don't like, you want to be able to see them. You want to be able to be with them, to watch them, to understand them. If you're constantly shrinking away, you're not going to understand anything. Now, being non-reactive doesn't mean you're not proactive. Because then when the Buddha teaches breath meditation, we have the 16 steps, and those are very proactive. You train yourself to breathe in certain ways. Breathe in ways that give rise to pleasure or rapture. Breathe so that you're aware of the whole body. So you calm bodily fabrication, i.e. calm the breath in and out, even to the point where it stops. You breathe in ways that gladden the mind. You breathe in ways that concentrate the mind, release the mind. That's proactive. It's a skill you're developing, but you can't develop the skill unless you have that ability to be non-reactive. So you can be with mental states, physical states that you don't like, and you can look into them, try to understand them. See why they invade the mind. And see what you can do so they don't invade the mind. So that's element meditation or property meditation. That's a preliminary for getting the mind to settle down with the breath. Now John Fuhrenhofer would also use it as a way of solidifying your concentration. Mentioned just now there, you get to states where the breath stops in the body, not because you suppressed it, but simply because you feel no need to breathe. The breath energy fills the body. Everything seems satisfied, saturated. The mind seems satisfied to be just here, very still. And you begin to realize that you don't have to breathe. Some people get scared at this point. But you have to remember, the body will breathe if it has to. You're not clamping down on anything. Why the body doesn't need to breathe right now? It's hard to say. Some people say there's an exchange of oxygen at the skin. Some people say there's not. But something's happening that doesn't trigger any felt need to breathe. The brain, which is one of the main users of oxygen, is very, very still. So maybe there is an oxygen exchange going on. At any rate, when you get to this point where there's no felt need to breathe, John Fuhrenhofer would have you then switch over to the topic of fire. Think of the warmth in the body. Which spot in the body is the warmest? Focus your attention there. In the same way that you would focus your attention on the most comfortable spot in the body when you breathe. And then think of that warmth spreading from that spot to fill the whole body. So you're sitting there very still, very warm. Sometimes the warmth gets too much. I know one of the John Fung students who complained. The weather in Bangkok was pretty hot, and this was making things even hotter. In that case, he said, cool things down. Think of water. Your body has water all over the place. There's blood, and there's lymph, and there's urine. There's gall. It's saturated with water. So focus on whichever spot in the body is coolest. Then spread that sense of coolness throughout the body. Then he would have you focus on earth. Think of the solid parts of the body, the bones. Think of the whole body becoming solid. I remember one of our John Fung students complaining that he felt like his body was made out of bronze at this point. If that gets oppressive, then you balance things out. Not too warm, not too cold. Not too heavy, not too light. So you're sitting there balanced. The earth and the wind element balance each other out. The water and the fire elements balance each other out. You try to maintain that sense of just rightness. After a while, you begin to notice that your sense of the boundary of the body begins to disappear. It's a perception that you've imposed on this state that you got here. What you got left is like a cloud, a mist made of little droplets of sensations. Focus on the space between those droplets. Hold on to that perception of space. And you've moved into the element of space, or the property of space. That has no boundaries. It's not bound by the body. It's not bound by the room in which you're sitting or any of the things that surround you. Permeates everything. Try to maintain that sensation, maintain that perception as solidly as you can. You're learning how to make your perception solid without the benefit of the breath. This makes your concentration even deeper and stronger. Then when you're ready, you can move on to the next question. What is it that knows the space? Consciousness, knowing, knowing, knowing. You stick with that perception of knowing and have a sense that the knowing permeates everything, surrounds everything. Now, some people mistake this for a grounded being. It's not. After all, it's your perception of knowing that keeps you there. But it's a really good state to know, good state to master. Because when you're awareness is very clear like this and all around like this. You see things arising and passing away, things that are very subtle arising, passing away in the mind that you wouldn't have seen when you're working with the breath because the movement of the breath is getting in the way. So this is a good foundation for regaining insight. You've also learned about the power of perception. This body that you've got here, you can perceive it as all fire, as all wind, all earth, all water, all space, all consciousness. And the actual sensation of what you got here will change depending on your perceptions. That's a lesson worth taking to heart. How much your perceptions change things, how much your perceptions come before your sensations of these things, as it's explained in Dependent Core Rising. Name and form comes before contact. Perceptions are part of name and form. And there are perceptions of fabrication that come before that. So you can use these topics as topics to gain a sense of dispassion, sangvega, to induce a sense of solidity in the mind, to solidify your concentration, and to learn lessons about perception. So it's not a primitive chemistry that's being imposed on us. We're actually being told to look more carefully at what we directly experience and to see how clearly we can shape our experience through our perceptions. These are all good lessons to learn.